It's a Ben Fred Friday on Scoops with Danny Mac. As always, we're brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group. Before you think about surgery, think about how they can help you avoid surgery and keep you in the game, literally, without having surgery and those invasive procedures. Check it out, what they have to offer before you have surgery, BlueTailMedicalGroup.com, BlueTailMedicalGroup.com. Ben, as always, from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, he is down in Florida. Good to hear your voice. How are things going?
I'm doing well, Dan. Just got down here, so excited to see some baseball in person, albeit from a distance, but certainly better than no baseball at all. And some interesting things going on down here. It's kind of my favorite part of spring training. It's the part where some decisions start getting made, and some of these Grapefruit League games start becoming a little more serious for certain guys in certain positions. We start answering some questions. So I know it's fun to be down at the beginning. You know, it's new and the skies are blue and the grass is green, but this time of the year is more fun for me because I think it's where some of the important stuff happens.
You saw last night Carlos Martinez gave up 6 runs. What was your impression of Carlos?
Well, I think you have to put it in the category of some of the similar Carlos Martinez starts that we've seen as he's struggled to, you know, prove that he is without a doubt a starter. You also have to put probably a little bit of it on Angel Hernandez once again being behind the home plate. He lives in this area, so he calls a lot of these games, and there's been some frustration on both sides of that game about the strike zone. However, Angel Hernandez wasn't the one who was hitting Jose Altuve. He wasn't the one walking everybody. So Carlos just didn't look all that dialed in. He was better, I think, in the second inning. But none of these guys have looked all that good in their first trip through, other than Adam Wainwright, who looked like he's ready for the season to start now. Kim didn't look sharp. Flaherty did not look sharp. We have not seen Miles Michaelis yet. He's planning on throwing some sort of a bullpen session this weekend where, you know, they hope to get him in a game, I think, sometimes next week. But not a great first statement for the rotation here, Dan, as we try to figure out who's going to be in this thing for that fifth spot. Clearly, it looks like the Cardinals are kind of slating things for Carlos. Schultz said before that game that he's pretty much done everything he needs to do in order to be leading that chase. But I'm not quite sure he has it locked up, and this performance didn't exactly slam the door shut if that was on the table for him.
Are we concerned at all right now with Miles Michaelis, in your opinion?
Well, I go by the old Joe Strauss rule of you never underplay an injury. You just, any time at spring training where there's a pitcher who's having some sort of arm issues, especially when it's a guy who's dealt with something in the past and anything is being delayed or pushed back and he's not pitching in games, I think it's of significant concern. You know, it's early. You know, if he gets back in games and looks good, you know, maybe this fear subsides a little bit. The Cardinals do have some depth where if for some reason Michaelis wasn't able to go out of the gate, maybe he could come online a little bit later. But, yeah, I mean, the guy missed the season last year, and this is a similar issue, and it's scrambling his plans. A couple weeks ago we were told he's ready to go. He was full participation. He was doing everything everybody else would. There was no reason to think he wouldn't be ready to roll, and now that's changed. So interesting to see what he looks like this weekend if we find the field and get a chance to watch from the observation tower down here. But, yeah, I think it's a fair concern. And if he's not, or if he's going to be significantly delayed, then I think that conversation about maybe what other avenues the Cardinals could go kicks up a little bit. Alex Reyes has looked really good down here, man. He looked really good again on Thursday night. I know they have some questions about his innings limit, but if you have other guys you can throw at that role, there might not be a worse idea than having Alex Reyes be kind of a fifth starter type who maybe – doesn't go quite as deep. So I'm still wishing the Cardinals would think about that a little bit more. And then, of course, everyone's going to want to talk about Jake Odorizzi, who is still out there on that free agent market. If Michaelis is this is a bigger problem than the Cardinals are letting on, then, you know, that would be a logical connection. The Cardinals had some talks with him entering spring training, and he's still out there available.
No doubt. And, you know, some of the other guys that you mentioned, like KK, I don't put a lot of stock in the first time through. Jack Flaherty was ineffective. But the KK velocity thing, probably a mechanical issue that he can, get that figured out as they go along. But when you get later into spring training, that's when those warning signs become issues. That's how I usually look at it. So I don't put a lot of stock in that first time through. I'm sure you feel the same way.
I'm with you. Even with Carlos, he pitched really well this off season. I'm not going to go nuts about a bad first Grapefruit League start. Now, if it's a trend, you know, and we'll know that in the coming days, then maybe it's something bigger to talk about. Michaelis is a different category because he's not pitching in these games, and it's a health related thing. And anytime you've got a guy with a pitcher with a health related issue that's keeping him out of Grapefruit League games, it's of significant concern, especially when it's the same issue that has robbed him of a season. So I think that's a little bit different threat level right now.
What are some of the other stories that you're looking forward to early in spring that you could see develop as we move forward?
Well, I'm really curious about what Schilt said a couple days before I got down here. You know, the Cardinals made these moves, including trading Dexter Fowler, to kind of clear open this outfield competition that they spent all offseason talking about. And then it was about a couple games into the Grapefruit League slate where Schilt kind of made a comment like he thinks that the guys who he's starting in the outfield have kind of really proven that they need to be first up. And I think clearly the Cardinals hope that their starters for the outfield are Dylan Carlson in right field, Harrison Bader in center, and Tyler O'Neill in left field. But I'm personally would like to see that play out as a competition a little bit more before they just decide that those are their starters. I think, and I've said this to you before, I think Lane Thomas is a really interesting candidate to be the left fielder. And if he has a strong spring, then I think he could push that issue. I really don't think anything is set in the Cardinals outfield as much as the team wants to make it sound that way. But it's a little curious that they're not kind of stoking the fires of the competition a little bit more. I thought they would be doing that, especially in the outfield. They're kind of playing it a different way. I'm curious if that can change. And then the big one is going to be Matt Carpenter. I mean, everyone's just going nuts about Carpenter actually playing in Grapefruit League games. But right now, I think if the season starts and the games count, then I don't see how he's not coming off the bench. They're going to use him a lot in spring to see what he can do. They're going to move him around. And if he hits like a banshee, then you find a way to use him. But right now, there's no starting spot for him. They've said Edmund is penciled in as the starter at second base. He's not going to play above Arenado or Goldschmidt. He's a bench guy, but what can he do that can maybe change that discussion? If he and Edmund both hit, maybe Edmund spent some time in the outfield. But Carpenter, it's not going to be as much the results, like what he does in the box score, but he needs to hit some balls hard. He needs to do some things other than walk. He still kind of looks like, just based off of early returns down here, that he's not as quick on some of the velocity pitches as he would hope to be. I think it's going to be hard for him to hit so well here that he comes out of this forcing playing time at second base. But I am curious to see, you know, how much more we can learn about his bat in these games, because right now he's a very, very highly paid bench player. He doesn't want to play that way. He doesn't want that to be his role. He has a chance to change that conversation. But unless he has a really strong spring or Edmund has a really tough one, then I don't know that that's going to be able to change.
The other guy I can't wait to watch. I love watching him every time he has a chance to play is Nolan Gorman. He's already made two fabulous plays at third base. He's going to get time at second, the outfield. And you're not going to move Nolan Arenado to second. So I'm really curious to watch Nolan Gorman to see how he performs.
He made a hell of a play here. I mean, I sat down at Ballpark of the Palm Beaches Thursday night just after getting into Florida. And one of the first plays I saw was him make a really strong play at third base, running in on a ball, getting the throw over to Goldschmidt in time. He looks really good at third base. I mean, I can remember a couple of seasons ago going to watch him on the backfields, and there were balls getting away from him at third base. And we were kind of talking then, like, can he stick there? Is that going to work for him? Well, he's made big strides at third, and I love his attitude about adjusting to second or wherever. He just wants to play, and that's a great attitude for a young guy. How about the fact, too, that, you know, I think he's, you know, I don't have the numbers on hand, but I saw a stat the other day, like he's hitting some of the hardest hit balls in spring training. He's putting good wood on the ball. So I had to make some bold predictions at STL.com. One of the chatters last week kind of pushed me to get out on a limb a little bit. And I took a stab and said, it wouldn't surprise me if we see Nolan Gorman make more second half starts than Matt Carpenter. If they find a way to use him. The Cardinals, fortunately, they shift now. They're more willing to get a little crazy on defense, and they can protect guys a little bit. So it wouldn't be that wild for me to see him playing some second base with, you know, Goldschmidt and DeYoung kind of helping him out in some shifting scenarios, or maybe getting in on that corner outfield spot. It doesn't sound like, Dan, that the DH is going to be coming. There was an interesting report out of The Athletic. Evan Drellich, who does a great job for them, said that as of now, that's kind of a dead issue. So whether it was Gorman or Carpenter, kind of hoping that that would be their way into the lineup regularly, where things stand now, it doesn't sound like that's going to be coming. Now, that could change. Things could heat up between the owners and the players. We know they expanded the postseason really late last spring training, but it sounds as of right now that they're going to hold off on that talk until they iron out the next CBA. So it sounds like if you're in the National League, you're going to have a spot on the field to be in the lineup.
In terms of some of the other storylines, we talked about Gorman. We've talked about the outfield, how the pitching opens up. What else are you looking at down in spring training?
Well, I think, there's going to be a ton of lineup talk. I think where Dylan Carlson hits is going to be a bigger story as these lineups start to mean a little bit more. I don't want to see Dylan Carlson buried down in the order. I think he's a number two guy, maybe a number one guy if Edmund's on base percentage doesn't creep back up a little bit. I think that's going to be a story. I think Paul DeJong and what he's able to do, this is a big year for Paul. It's a chance for him to prove that he is in that class of thumping shortstops who should be considered for all-star conversation. He needs to kind of reverse the downward trend and prove that he can be that guy. It's time now. He's had good runs. He's had a really great start, but he's kind of leveled off a little bit, and he should be, I think, a better hitter and a more successful hitter now that he's got some protection in the lineup too, and he's not asked to do so much. So I think he's kind of going to be an underrated story of this camp as well.
Let's switch gears, and we're going to get the look at some point this weekend of Vladimir Tarasenko, whether it's tonight against the Kings or tomorrow, but just in a general sense, seeing Tarasenko come back for the Blues, this is a jolt. And the other part of the Blues, they actually scored on the power play, so that was something good to see too.
Yeah, it showed up when they needed it, right? They've been so slow to kind of snap into place there, in part because they've been cycling so many guys through, but that has to be something that comes into shape for them here as they're kind of trying to find ways to win. They've got the guys still that should be able to score in that way, and they need to find points and goals here as they're really trying to keep their head above water. I loved what Doug Armstrong said. He did a Q&A, a lengthy one, with media members before I went down to spring training, and he said a stretch like this can harden a team, and in a good way. And, we saw that with the Blues when they won the Cup. They went through a stretch with a horrendous amount of injuries. I don't think it was as bad as this one is currently. But they were beat up, and they had some guys who kind of helped them keep their themselves in the fight. And when they got to the playoffs, those guys showed up big. I mean, you create depth that can then come back and reward you in the playoffs if you get in. The Blues are probably not going to be the seed they hope to be. They're probably not going to be as safely in as they hope, but they can still get in this thing. And if they get in and then they get some guys back and they're adding on as they go, then you can kind of see them. We saw the 11 Cardinals do that, right? They got healthier, and then as they got healthier, they got more confident in one field the other. And it was a different team when it was the most important stretch of the season. It's asking a lot for the Blues to pull that off, but I think they've got guys who they've got enough good players left, and they've got the right spirit about them that I think they feel like they can get in. And if they get in, they should be a lot healthier than they are now. Getting Tarasenko back, Dan, would, I think, be huge for them in terms of both on the ice, but also just mentally. They've seen so many guys leave, player after player after player. Getting one back of his caliber, I think it does more than just help you in terms of finding chances to score. I think he lifts up everybody. JT and the guys have talked about just the presence on the ice when he's out there practicing. Guys have a little more, a little more kick in their skates. They you don't have a 30-goal scorer out there and not notice it. Now, can he be that guy? I don't know. It's asking a lot of him to step in and be the guy he was before that shoulder got repaired again. But if he can show flashes of it, if in short bursts as he builds up his stamina, he can find ways to help the team, he's automatically going to draw the attention of other teams. You don't just forget he's out there ever. So if he's maybe able to impress us with what he's able to do, I think it could go a long way to helping this team kind of find some spirit when it really needs it. It's a trying time for them right now.
Obviously, huge win for Mizzou at Florida last second, and maybe not being in the 8 or 9 seed, that might have moved him up. What do you think?
Well, I think it was a big game for Drew, because Drew Smith, one of the things that the Tigers have lacked is a is exactly what Illinois has. It's a closer, a guy who can find a way to win a game. And Io DeSumo, who's, you know, now working his way back from that broken nose, which happened on a dirty play at Michigan State. But the Tigers have not had that guy who can go win them a game. And Drew doing that in that game against Florida, that might have been something that can bode well for this team in tournament play, whether it's SEC or NCAA. Having a guy who can go win you a game. You'd love it if it would be Xavier Pinson sometimes, but it's just he's not all that reliable in that role. He's too hot or cold, but Drew is more steady. He's more of kind of a teammate guy, but I think Konzo has challenged him to be that guy, and you saw that he can be, and he was in that game. So they're in now. I mean, that's the good news. But if they're not playing their team game, and if Xavier Pinson is not playing like he did at Florida, then they won't be in for long. But if they can be, you know, if they can play their best version of themselves, and they could be a team that gets into March and makes a run at this thing. It's just solely going to depend on how many guys are playing their best game, because they're one of these teams that their basement and their ceiling, there's such a wide difference between the two. And that's a lot of teams in college basketball, but very few teams have as big of an upside and as low of a downside as Missouri seems to have.
And I'll wrap it up. Arch Madness here in St. Louis, and this will be Doug Elgin's final year as the commissioner of Arch Madness. 33 years he's been the commissioner of the Valley, and that man has done an awful lot for that conference, college basketball, and certainly the city of St. Louis.
No doubt. Yeah, congrats to Doug, and happy trails to him. I know he's got plans to spoil grandkids, but we're going to miss him, and I'm thankful. That's kind of a parting gift. He was able to extend the agreement between Arch Madness and St. Louis, so that's gonna be around longer than he will have been with the conference. He started in, I believe, 88, and he brought Arch Madness to St. Louis in, I believe, 91, and it's been here ever since. That is such a remarkable run and a great relationship between those two parties in an era where very few things seem to last, but Doug Elgin as a in-place leader for the MVC and his ability to overcome constant hurdles, and, you know, schools have left. He's brought in great replacements. Coaches have left. He's had schools that brought in great replacements. One of the longest, he's the longest tenured multi-sport Division I commissioners, and he gets to go out on his terms, which is pretty cool accomplishment. So congrats to him.
No doubt. Hey, Ben, thanks. Reminder for everybody, the Scoops with Danny Mac television show on Fox 2 at 10:30 Sunday night will feature Cardinals Hall of Famer Jim Edmonds. So looking forward to that. Hey, we'll catch you up next Friday. You'll be down in Jupiter. I'll be here. So make sure you have your sunscreen out. Take care of yourself. Stay healthy, and we'll catch you up next Friday.
Sounds good, man. Look forward to that, and I'll try to have a good tan by then.